Hey everyone, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy you are here with us tonight. We are again live on Facebook, YouTube, as well as Periscope. And Sped Homeschool Conversations is about conversations on everything relevant to special education homeschooling, which can be a lot of things. And this month, it's about mom burnout, because that factors into the equation as well, too. And we want to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. We'll hear a little bit more from them about halfway through our conversation. And tonight, I'm talking with Ashley Campbell. Ashley, thank you for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So tonight we're going to talk about dethroning fear and embracing your purpose in your homeschool. And so many people that I talk to, when they think about homeschooling or even start homeschooling or even in the middle, there's so much fear that crops up. And maybe we talk about it or maybe we don't. but tonight we're going to talk about it. And we're hoping in the process of talking about it that you can maybe recognize some things, some patterns that even thought patterns that we dismiss as, oh, that's just the way, you know, I deal with things, or we don't really see it as fear, but we want to point it out. We want to point out that enemy, and we want to show you the right way to handle that. And it's to
absolutely
to embrace purpose. So thank you for joining us, Ashley, and and really diving into this subject with us. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do my best to communicate it, because, you know, it's something I never thought I would ever be talking about. So here we are.
Well, you know, the funniest thing is the things that you struggle with the most are what you're the best speaker on. That's what I found. So, because you have a lot of really good stories and you can show that, it's possible. That's what
we want to
see if it's possible. So, and if you're watching with us anytime, make sure you share with other people that might be interested in this topic as well. We're going to be going for the next hour. But feel free to put comments, questions in the feed, whether you're on YouTube or on Facebook or on Periscope. And we would like to make that part of our conversation. We want to bring your feedback and your questions in as well. So, so as we get started, Ashley, can you share with us a little bit about you and your story and just kind of how this whole homeschooling thing got started in your life?
Yeah, sure. So, okay. Well, I have been with my husband for almost 20 years in February. I met him when I was in high school. I think I was 15. 9 months later, I got pregnant with baby number one. So I was a really young mom. I had my first baby when I was 16 years old. The world was completely against us. You know, they never thought that we were going to make it. I don't know how many times I was told, you know, are you going to have an abortion? You know, and at the time, teenage pregnancy was like, it was like an epidemic. It was really bizarre. And so just wearing their little, you know, fake pregnancy outfits. And I'm thinking, man, this is real though. You don't understand. So anyway, you know, I had a baby really, really young. And, you know, so then 4 years later, I had another baby, baby number two. I was 20. So by the time I had the second baby, I was thinking, okay, cool. I should be getting some approval on this thing. You know, I had the first baby when I was young, but I'm thinking, okay, I'm 20. I'm in nursing school, trying to be a nurse. I'm trying to, you know, I want to make a lot of money and support my family. You know, I thought I had everything lined up, you know. Well, had the second baby and they're like, what the heck? You're having another kid? What is wrong with you? I was like, oh man. Okay. I didn't get that one right. So then 2 years later, I had another baby. So that was too soon. But then I had another baby every 2 years after that for a total of seven. So, I mean, I threw everybody for a loop, you know, having as many children as I did, you know? And so, I had, as far as homeschooling goes, I never thought I was ever going to homeschool, in all honesty. I was not in a Christian family. I mean, I don't like to say only Christians homeschool, but the people that I was with, everyone who was homeschooling, they were all Christians. Okay.
Well, yeah, back in the day. Yes.
Yeah. Right. I knew one person when I was in elementary school, she homeschooled her daughter, but it was only because her daughter kept getting in trouble. So it was like, okay, they can't do anything with you. So we're going to just keep you at home and hopefully that'll work out.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see if we can remedy this problem. But, you know, I never had any experience with homeschooling. I was never homeschooled. I went to public school my whole life. You know, so I didn't know anything about it. Well, I think I got baptized when I was 10. And then I found the Lord again when I was 19, because like my parents weren't Christians, you know. And started following the Lord, found a church. I think we started seeking the Lord. And then about 9 months later, 10 months later, we started praying for a church. You know, I was like, I wanted to be around people who were following the Lord. And so, we got hooked up with these people. Well, it turns out, you know, they all homeschool and they invited me to their small group. And so I went to their small group and I was getting ready to put my oldest at the time, he was 5, in the kindergarten. Okay. Like, I was kind of looking forward to it. And
I totally relate. That's why I'm laughing, because I put mine into kindergarten and then they sent him back home. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like, that was the thing, you know? It was like, okay, send him off to school and then I'll do my thing or whatever, go pick him up.
Right.
Well, I got invited to a Bible study and, you know, they were talking about homeschooling. She's like, so Ashley, are you going to homeschool? And I was like, never thought about it. Like,
right.
why are you asking me that question?
Mm-hmm.
And so she started bringing up the fact, you know, that when your kids are gone 8 hours a day, you're never going to see them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she just started talking about that kind of the whole dynamic of what you're missing out on when you're not with your kids a lot, you know? And I was like, right. I never even considered that. I just never did.
That's really cool. They came at it from the positive direction, because a lot of times people will come at it from the negative and say, well, this is, you know, what you're missing. They're not
right. And it was just sort of bringing that reality that I think everybody thinks about, no matter what spectrum, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on, everybody thinks about their kids. Yeah. And, you know, she was like, yeah, you know, did you want to be the primary influence? And I was like, what? Like, I know I want to be, but I never thought about it in that context of actually homeschooling them,
right.
You know, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to be raising them. Like, okay, I'll put a roof over their head, you know, do my best or whatever. But I didn't really think about influencing them in that type of way. And so I was just like, huh. And that just kind of stuck with me a little bit. And I just remember going home like, Lord, am I supposed, like, do you really want me to homeschool these kids? Like, it stirred something in my heart, like in a good way. Like, I was like, wow, those are really great questions. Those are really good things to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had decided that, you know what? I started reading some books because the whole idea, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's kind of worried. Like, am I going to be able to do this thing? But anyway, I just was like, you know what? I realized when you follow the Lord, he puts peace in your heart. He actually puts things in your heart that you really want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And so, I didn't know that I wanted to homeschool. I knew that I knew I wanted to influence my children. I remember I used to work in a nursing home before I started homeschooling. As I shared, I was going to go be a nurse and make a lot of money and support my family. And I remember driving to the nursing home and I would be crying all the way there because my oldest at the time, he needed some help. He had issues with some speech because when I used to drop him off at my mom's house. Because I was in high school, so my mom babysit him. So he was with my mom all the time. Well, my mom really didn't do much with him. He just kind of ran around, did whatever he wanted, watched Beethoven, jumped out the windows. Like, you know what I'm saying? He was just, he was running amok. And I wasn't really with him. I was with him, but I wasn't with him. Like, I put a roof over his head. You know, he had a house. He had food. But I wasn't really investing a lot of time in him because, honestly, I was so busy with
investing.
I was going to work. I was going to school, but I wasn't sitting down with him and actually studying this human before me. Right. Like, who are you? And what's going on here? You know, I was like, okay, I'm taking care of you physically. Cause that's what I knew when I was growing up. My parents didn't invest in me like that either. You know, it was like, okay, you got food, you got water. You're cool, right? Just
right.
don't put the house on fire.
We met our legal obligations.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And so, you know, that's kind of how I treated my parenting in the very beginning, you know, ignorantly. I just didn't know any better. And I was a young mom and, you know, I was really just doing my best, you know. And so I just remember, though, driving to work, going to the nursing home, just thinking, man, like, I knew he needed a lot of help. His speech wasn't very great because, like I said, I wasn't investing in him. I wasn't really reading to him. I wasn't really talking to him very much. I mean, it sounds terrible, but it's true. And so because of that, his language was really just delayed in a lot of ways. Very intelligent, but he had a hard time articulating what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
And so he had to go to speech therapy. And I just remember thinking, man, I felt like such a crappy mom. Like, wow, way to go, Ashley. See what you did, you know? And I just remember saying, Lord, I want to be home with them. I want to teach them. I want to do what I need to do. I want to sort of redeem my early years of being a mom. you know? And so, yeah, you know, I prayed about it for, I think he went to preschool. He went 1 year of kindergarten. But then after that, I was like, okay, you know, first grade, I was all in at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. I love that word you use, redeem, because oftentimes we think we've gone past the time where we can make things right, which really we can't make things right, but God can. He can redeem so much in so much a failure that we feel on our part and make it even better. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and I think we have to learn to give ourselves grace, because the thing I think we forget as humans is we're not all knowing. Like I was born a baby just like everybody else was. Right. And I learned whatever I learned within my family of origin. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it wasn't that great. My parents didn't do terrible, but you know what I'm saying? It was lacking. And so because of that, I was lacking, and that was passed down. But I think we just have to realize and give ourselves grace that, you know what, you're not born all knowing. And because of our ignorance at times, we're going to do things. We're going to look back and say, dang it, I wish, but you didn't know, right? Yeah, nobody wakes up and says, I want to screw my life up today. So, you know, I think we're all doing our best.
Yeah. And that's one of those fears is,
amen,
I'm not good enough to homeschool. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that one before?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not patient enough.
Oh, that's a big one. I hear that all the time.
Yeah. Exactly. I think, just dethroning that lie that homeschool moms are these perfect people that, you know, that we've got it all together. That don't believe that.
No,
we
absolutely.
We make a lot of mistakes.
No, I remember the first year when I was going all in with my five-year-old, I didn't have a lot of patience. I had these expectations upon him because we had to do all these things. And there was a lot of stuff he didn't know. And I was never his mom in that way, as far as actually teaching him in that way. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a lot of patience at all. I remember feeling so frustrated. I would be like, dang it, you know, like for real. And I had to when I first started, you know, I remember like, you know what, Ashley, you need to just take a break. Cause I would just be like getting a little, you know, you see this red shirt, like, you know, I'd be feeling it on the inside. And I was just like, whoa, I had to bring myself down. And so, you know, when you've been doing something for 13 years, people look at me now and they're like, wow, Ashley, you're so jovial. You have so much patience. I was like, honey, this is years of just reminding myself and, you know, being very conscious of myself in that way. It's like, and I think when they're young, the expectations we have of them are absolutely unrealistic. We put way too much pressure. We don't enjoy them. They really don't need to be doing a lot, but that's just my experience. So I that was the other problem. When they go to kindergarten, how long are they in kindergarten for?
Right.
5 hours.
But they're not learning that entire time.
They're not. And I think a lot of parents think I have to do what's being done. I have to set this pattern. I have to teach them for 5 hours. When the truth is, they're watching movies. I remember taking naps in kindergarten, watching movies. Like, my kids can do that at home.
Right. You know? Exactly.
But just that expectation and just for asking yourself, you know, reminding yourself, you know, that's where the pressure comes from, and the fear, the expectations that maybe they're not your own, but they're somebody else's. So.
Yeah. Can we talk about a little bit about those expectations?
Oh, definitely. Yes. So
to Nikisha, who's watching. Hey, Nikisha, thanks for joining us.
Yes, Nikisha.
Definitely pop in if you're watching and let us know you're there too. So, but yeah, just those expectations that we put on ourselves that we really shouldn't.
For me, I think it was, how can I say it? Everybody else was the professional. Everybody else was the teacher. Like, I wasn't a teacher. I was a mom. I wasn't a teacher. So I sort of learned to outsource certain things to people just over a title, instead of realizing that, you know what, I taught my kid everything he knew up until he walked through the kindergarten door. I taught him how to tie his shoes, how to get dressed, how to feed himself. Mm-hmm. So why couldn't I teach him anything else than that? But I had this mindset because I was young at the time. You know, gosh, I think I was in my early 20s, 19, 20, 21. I can't remember. I was young. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just remember having this mindset that it's the professionals that know this and it's their responsibility and I don't really know what I'm doing. And the other expectation was they have to know all these things. They have to have all this knowledge. Yeah. So I put a lot of pressure on myself, and that's the thing, you know, when you start comparing your kid to another kid, but my kid had his own struggles and his own context because his own environment, and I'm comparing him to another kid that like speaks better than mine. That was very discouraging. So if there was a lot of skills I was comparing him to that wasn't reality for my life, you know, skills, titles, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it made it very challenging.
And that's something that the educational society, I think, puts on us more so, is these people are trained, they're professionals, and it's really interesting when you all of a sudden see professional teachers start homeschooling and they're like, I just forgot, you know, everything that I knew just went out the door. When you homeschool, it's a completely different environment than teaching children in a classroom. You actually do that one-on-one, you know, and customized schooling, and it's nothing you're taught as a classroom teacher. And, and so, yeah, you just kind of learn to kick back and relax. Jennifer kind of talked about that. She said, absolutely, it doesn't happen overnight. I had no patience in the beginning either. 13 years has taught me a lot.
Amen. Good job, Jennifer. Absolutely. And I think it's so important that we share our wisdom like that, you know, just our experiences with other people. Yeah. You know.
And you had said too, Ashley, at one point already about just how... Oh, now I lost it.
It's okay. It'll come back to you.
It'll come back to me at some point. But yeah, it's just those things that we just, we keep beating ourselves up about that. You need to give yourself grace.
No, absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if you want to bring it up now, but I was just thinking about how, you know, my own insecurities really played a role in this, because I think if we're not aware of ourselves in this way, then we're going to hook on to all kinds of unrealistic expectations, all kinds of everything else that has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? And so one of my biggest struggles I had as a person was I was the biggest people pleaser you could ever meet in your entire life. I bent over backwards for everybody. I was constantly trying to find approval. I was constantly I would compromise my authenticity and being genuine with somebody over connection. I always wanted connection no matter what it was. I wore my heart on my sleeve, and you know, so I was always trying to please people. And I just remember one day I was like, after carrying that burden for God knows how long, my whole life, I said, Lord, why do I care so much about what people think about me? And I mean, I was pouring my heart out, and you know, when God's talking to you because you have a thought you never had, and then the burden comes off, you're like, whoa, what was that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it was because you've internalized man's judgments of you. And I was like, what?
Ooh, that's a hard one.
Yeah. But it gave me something to work with within myself, because for so long I had always, you know, judged myself, or always, how can you say, governed myself based upon someone else's perception of me. So if people made judgments of me, if they said, this is the expectation in homeschooling, if I valued that person's opinion, I would conform and do everything they told me to do, because, that's how I got my worth. Like, oh, you tell me I'm doing it right. Okay, cool. And so anyway, I just remember, you know, really struggling with that, realizing I was internalizing man's judgments, and then, you know, just was like, how do I get free from that? And that's when he started just showing me how I was doing that. Somebody would make a judgment of me, a conclusion, and then I would go ahead and prove it. Like, oh, you think that? Well, here, let me switch my behavior around and get you to think differently of me. So I was really good at being chameleon in that way, no security. And so that people-pleasing thing just really got me, and I was just at the mercy of, you know, anything and everything. And so I was always living to these expectations in every area of my life, not just in homeschooling, because usually a pattern will not be set just in one area, but in every area of your life.
Right.
And
you said too, you know, you started noticing it. I love that when God reveals something to us, we start seeing those things in our life. And I remember mentoring somebody and she's like, Peggy, I'm seeing it all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not that it's there anymore. It's just that you're seeing it now.
And so
be thankful that your eyes are not shielded any longer
to Amen.
That lie. So
Absolutely.
It gives us that opportunity, instead of beating ourselves up when we see it, to say, okay, what am I going to do about it now? In truth, to confront it. So how did you get beyond that then?
What you mean, just getting out from underneath the people pleasing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, so that's been a journey.
I think that's a lot of parents. I mean, we like say, oh, my child's doing so good in this, and you know, we want to compare and please everybody else about how our kids are succeeding in homeschooling.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think I had to just make a decision that the burden of living underneath of it was just too heavy. You know, I just had to make a decision that, you know what, I can't do this anymore. You know, I knew I didn't want to live that way. And so, you know, I just remember just like, Lord, you know what? That was the other thing I had to realize. And I think we talked about this in the very beginning, was we're not born all knowing. Man is not all knowing. So if man isn't all knowing, why would I submit myself their opinions and their judgments upon my life when they only know what I choose to reveal, right? So when people were making judgments or conclusions or whatever, it was like they were only seeing like a hair width of my life, right? So why would I put so much weight upon that? And so, you know what, I had to learn, because this is something I wasn't taught in the Christian community, was to get underneath God's love that surpasses knowledge. I didn't know how to be underneath God's grace and his love. I thought it was a one-time transaction. Okay, Jesus died for my sins. Cool, I accepted it. But I didn't know how to live in that on the daily, you know? And so, you know, God had to show me that he's my judge, but he's not my judge because he ain't even judging me. Jesus don't even condemn us. He doesn't point out our wrong consistently. And that's what I was doing. There was a lot of things I was doing that I wasn't even aware of. I had a lot of shame in my life as a Christian. I had a lot of condemnation. I had a lot of things I was struggling with internal inside of myself in my relationship with God. And I had no idea how it was being carried out into every other area, like homeschooling, right? Because when you dealing with shame and condemnation, when you're pointing out you're wrong all the time, you're going to do it in every area of your life. So I had to be aware of that and understand what those dynamics were so I could be like, oh, that's what that is. Because once you become aware of it, then you can get out from underneath of it.
You know, I'm aware of it and name it.
Name it. Absolutely. And the other thing was, God says that his perfect love casts out fear. And so I had to acknowledge the fear that I had, the fear of, oh, because I had a really hard time with people looking, you know, looking at me in a bad way. Like, honestly, I think that's a thorn in my flesh. I still, to this day, I will have a thought come over me and I'm like, oh, Ashley, why are you worried about what this person's going to think of you? And I had to learn that I have my own values and my own character inside of me. I have my own vision for my life. I have my own things I want to do with my kids. You know, I have things within myself, and I never even learned to tap into that because the culture I was around a lot, it was you just die to yourself. So I was this person that was dead on the inside. No, you know, died to all my desires, died to all my emotions, died to everything else but whatever I thought everyone would, what, except for what everyone else was telling me to do. So I was not giving myself permission to actually live from my heart. What does Ashley want to do? What does she want to accomplish with her life? What does she want to do with her family? What does she want to do with her kids? I never gave myself permission to do that.
Wow.
You know,
that is such a burden.
But it was a huge burden.
I think a lot of women live that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see it as that. You see it as a whole right. lot of other things, insecurities, or, you know, just following and doing what everybody else is doing and kind of hiding in that.
Absolutely.
Versus being, this is who I am.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be like anybody else, but I'm me, and I'm loving me, because this is the unique me that God made. And I think that's embracing our purpose. You know, we were going from fear to purpose.
Yes.
And really, once you get out of that fear mindset, you things open up so much.
Absolutely.
And you're able to do that. So.
Right. And just like, you know, just going back to, you know, what do I want? What do I want to accomplish? And the other thing I was thinking, for someone to really unpack that in their own life, like if you wanted to figure out how did I get here? Right. Cause I think if a lot of women struggle with it, you got to be able to kind of go back. And for me, all these things we struggle with, they do develop when we're children, right? Yeah. There was a situation I went through as a kid, and you know, it was a very traumatic. I had a very traumatic childhood in a lot of ways, and there was a time where I was solving my own problems on my own. You know, I was talking to counselors at school, and I was feeling pretty confident with that. You know, and I was like 5 or 6 years old. Well, when I came home one day, and my mom said, "Are you talking to so and so? Are you talking to the teachers, the counselors?" I'm like, yeah. She goes, if you keep doing that, they're going to remove you out of the house and they're going to call CPS. You're going to be gone. So and you know what? The Lord brought that memory to my mind, because as you're recovering from situations like this, there's going to be things that he's going to remind you of that have happened that helped shape that in you. And that was a big thing for me. And I didn't realize at the time that I had learned at that moment that I couldn't trust my own discernment anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. I felt good about
you had to mask what was going on.
I did.
Put on a happy face.
Right. Yeah. And mm-hmm. when the people that you love the most tell you that the way you're solving your own problems is wrong, that just robs the confidence right out from underneath of you. So if you don't learn as when you're young, that you have the ability to think and solve problems, you're like, well, I can't trust myself. So now you start looking to the outside world to give you directions. And that's why it gets really confusing, because a lot of times you're doing things that aren't even aligned with your purpose and what you want to do. And then you feel burnout.
Exactly. And we don't think about that when we're homeschooling. We think, mm-hmm. oh, it's just the school. It's the schooling of our kids that's bringing us down and giving us these fears. But there is so much we need to unpack in our lives. I know when I went back to first write my testimony, I wrote a couple notes down, and then I went back again, and things just kept coming out, and there was so much healing. I had to just forgive people in my life, my parents, and realize, you were talking earlier about that's where I was at when I, first had my kids. Well, that's where my parents were at. That's where I was at when I first started raising my kids. And I, just forgive myself, to forgive others, and just say that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Realize what it is. But it's going to take a lot of grieving and a lot of forgiveness to get
to that point. Oh, absolutely. Well, and I think that's important too. A lot of people got to give themselves permission to deal with the things that are stressing them out, because a lot of times it probably has nothing to do with homeschooling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I mean, a lot of times, why are people stressed out right now? They probably ain't working. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, there's other factors that contribute to this. And I think we got to give ourselves space to say, you know what? I need to be healed. Mm-hmm. I need God's grace. And that's what I was saying earlier. It's not a one-time transaction. It's this daily thing of what do you need from the Lord? Even with your homeschooling journey, it's like, Lord, what do I need with these kids? Like, who are these people and who are they? And what do I need? Train up a child in the way he should go or whatever. I'm like, what does that even mean? Cause I don't want to make a clone. It's like, how do I draw out this person's character and their values and build them up in that way? And it's like, Lord, give me some wisdom.
Yes. Yeah. It's a step-by-step in the dark type of one.
Yeah. Just giving your own heart the space to heal, to deal with your own issues before the throne of God. Mm-hmm. So that way you're not distracted by any of that. And then you're, when you're hurt, your paradigm of life is going to be completely different than when you're healed. And, I've realized that just recently. Think about when you're sitting there, just you got some pain. It distracts you. You're irritable, right? If you're recovering. But then when you're healed, you have a completely different mindset. Maybe you have more peace. You just look at the world differently. So I think in our hearts, we got to come from this place of healing and get from God what we need so we can do those things. Because I think a lot of times the things he wants us to do, we think we don't want to do it, when really in our hearts it's there, the desire is there, but the pain is distracting us from the purpose that's within us.
That is so good. Yeah. It's dealing with that pain, not shoving it under something and saying this isn't here. I'm not going to deal with now.
Absolutely.
And our growth as mothers, I think homeschooling is that really nice thing that presses you to really unpack a lot in your life.
Where
people who don't homeschool, they can send their kids to school and say it's somebody else's problem. And I'm not saying that everybody that sends their kids to public school does that, but it's a very easy out of not
dealing
with a lot of things in our lives. And I found that homeschooling for me especially taught me a whole lot about myself that I didn't realize I was on the journey to learn.
I'm going to tell you, God, I think, and you probably can relate to this, homeschooling makes you such a person of integrity because you're at home by yourself with these kids. And I'm like, Lord, you see everything.
Oh, yeah.
I can't be blown out. For real. They do. And that's the other thing, right? They see everything. They pick up on everything. Mm-hmm. I know how it was for me being a kid, being in that situation. And, so it really, it creates that integrity. It creates that, wow, Lord, I need your help with this. It's a really big responsibility, but there's so much healing in it. There's, like you said, there's so much growth on both sides. It ain't just my kids that has grown through this situation. I have definitely grown through, this homeschooling journey. So
yeah,
that's really good.
Well, we're about halfway through, so we're going to hear from our sponsor, Bookshark. I'm going to let you take a quick little break.
All right. When we come back,
we've been talking a lot about the fear part, but we're going to talk about purpose and kind of dive into there when she comes back. So we want to thank you, Bookshark, for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. And Bookshark is one of our partner organizations. We have a lot of them, actually. But they support us in a lot of different ways. But we would just love to thank them for sponsoring this episode and let you know a little bit about their product. They are a homeschool curriculum that's literature-based, four-day, faith-neutral, and you can find them at bookshark.com. I'm actually going to bring up their banner here so you can see that at the same time as I'm talking. But Kim McNary, a busy homeschool mom, says, "My daughter is on the spectrum as well as has OCD and has instantly taken to this curriculum. It is incredibly structured, which makes us both ecstatic. The books are great and the kids are awesome too. I'm running my daughter to all kinds of appointments and the curriculum fits amazingly. We are first-year Bookshark customers and happy as a lark." You know, Kim is right. Bookshark is a fully planned four-day homeschool curriculum, which flexes to match your busy lifestyle. The detailed instructor's guide lays out everything so clearly that all you have to do is open the book and go. In just mere minutes each day, you can be started. You just open your guide, gather your resources, which happen to be included for you. You don't have to find them all over your house. And then you just go. Curriculum is for ages 4 to 16 and is available in, you can get it all subjects across the board, or you can pick and choose any individual academic area, which is reading with history or language arts, science, and math. With Bookshark's literature-rich program, your children will read or have read to them 30 to 50 engaging books each year. So definitely check them out at bookshark.com. You can get their request a catalog or download some free samples to try it out. That's something I always recommend to parents, is try out the free stuff first, see if it works, because there's lots of good curriculum out there. And so if it works, it's worth the try. So, but anyways, we are going to bring Ashley back. We thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. And so, yeah, we're going to continue this conversation about dethroning fear and embracing purpose in your homeschool, which we're kind of uncovering has a lot more to do than just homeschooling.
Yes, it does. Break up the unplowed ground.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, as you homeschool, I mean, I'm starting my 18th year and...
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to say that, you know, believe that. But, you know, just from where I've come and I know from where you've come, and I talk to so many parents, you know, if you just say, I'm committed to this, I'm committed to myself, I'm committed to my children. And if I feel called in God's peace about this, he's going to make it work out.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I think a lot of times we devalue the fact that God does lead in peace. You're looking for like some external referencing, like, you know, God's going to shoot something out the sky, but he always gives you peace in your heart. And it's like, that should be enough for us. I'm like, he doesn't want peace. So if you got peace in the decision, oh man, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah, exactly. Peace can get through you through a whole lot. It's just when you start getting anxious, you know, that anxiety, which leads to fear. We are trained to react to that anxiousness instead of wait for the peace to come.
Absolutely. And then, and even just establishing, why am I anxious? What am I entertaining? What am I believing? What's going on? Is it even true in the context of my life? If not, it's got to go.
Right.
And being okay with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and to continue on the conversation, you know, as you get healing in your life, as you know, you really start to kind of go there and it empowers you. You really start thinking about what you want, right? Because you're not distracted anymore by your own pain. And for me, with homeschooling, I had to start asking myself, what do you want to do with your children, Ashley? And when I was in school, it was all information, right? It was sort of retain this information, regurgitate it on a test. Now, I'm not hating on tests or anything. I'm just saying I was trained just to, you know, memorize facts, but it wasn't enough. And I knew I didn't want that for my kids because it was exhausting just trying to pump information into them. And so I had to make a decision. What do I want? And I wanted them to learn just how to think as individuals, just to be able to think about stuff. So it's like, I started asking God, okay, how do I teach a child how to think, you know, and to be a critical thinker instead of just worrying about them having information? It's like, how can I teach them to use the brain that you've given to them? So that way they don't have to worry about retaining. All they have to know is these basic skills, and then they can do anything, you know?
I love that. So, you know, asking God, how can I, instead of saying, where's the resources? You know, what is doing that first. And I found that a lot of times when I turn to God first, he'd throw something in my lap that I would have never even found, you know, and people like gave it to me. And,
I love
it. Or would just come right across your path and you're like, that's it.
That's what I was looking for.
Exactly. And to just pray and wait on God. And it may sound just really crazy, but it is how God works when he says, just rest in me.
Yes.
And so I love that when you say that, just ask God. Because
just ask him. Yeah. He'll lead you in it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, none of us have to. How many of you even remember some of the stuff that you were in school for? It's like, I don't remember any of that. There's you know, I don't. And so I think, you know, all human beings, there's just these basic things that we need to know, and we have all the skills. I mean, it's like five things basically that you just need to know how to do, and you're good to go, you know, and just asking the question. And man, it's such a burden off. Like, oh, that's all that is. Okay, cool. Right. I don't have to memorize this 1,000-page book.
But you teach them to be lifelong learners, and you want them to want to learn more. I mean, I see that in my kids now that are adults. They just keep wanting to learn. And and that's exciting, because in our society, we have to be that way. Things change so fast.
Absolutely.
They memorize a whole bunch of texts that it's worthless by the time they graduate from high school.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, and how much do you retain? Because I'm a pretty good example of how much you don't retain when you're taught in traditional education.
But, you know, I wasn't taught a process. And, you know, I think after I started asking God about, you know, what do I want to do with my kids? I don't know. Are you familiar with Andrew Pudwall?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So he always brings up the process of learning for a child. You know, first they learn, they listen, and then they speak. And, you know, reading and writing. And I was like, wow, I love that, because everybody can relate to that. They can understand that. And really just taking that simple process and then giving it to my kids. So I'm like, okay, can you listen? I can learn how to listen better. Okay, let's learn how to listen. Right? Speaking, you know, reading, writing, and just those basic skills. And that really freed me up. And he always used to ask the question, how do you think? He would say that. I'm like, how do you think? That's a great question. It's like, ask questions. How do you get something out of a brain? And I was like, oh, it's that simple? That's all I have to do?
Exactly. Like, okay, and cool. And you put that into, like, relationships. I mean, those are skills. Those are interpersonal relational skills that are not even taught in school. And yet those are the most highly valued in jobs.
I love that.
Because we aren't taught on how to exchange in relationships, which is a much higher commodity than giving information. We can get information.
No, absolutely. Right.
I was blessed with a car ride with Andrew Pudua for 2.5 hours, and all he did was grill me. He's very good at that. And I was like, wait, when do I get to ask you the questions?
Wow. See, I love that, though, because probably at the end of that, you just probably felt so much more empowered. Like, you know, wow, wait a minute. I can do this. I know so much more than what I think. When someone questions you a lot like that, or however he did that,
right.
You know, and so, and that's the other thing, you said something about relationships. Everything we know, we learned in context of relationship.
That's
function,
so true.
Dysfunction. Yes. We learned it all in relationship. So, relationships, the foundation of everything. I mean, our parents, we were raised up with our family. Those are all relationships. Your spouse, whoever you're doing life with, it's all relational. And that's the other thing, too, is I'm very big on, you know, teaching my children character and bringing out their character. You know, if I see however they're acting, you know, I say, hey, you know, you're really kind. You're really compassionate. You're really faithful. You know, I let them know. I try to call out the traits that I see, because
the character traits.
Yeah, I call it out in them, because I realize that's what they're going to take with them. And I want them to learn how to identify themselves by their character and their values, and not mm-hmm. not performance, not other people's opinions, mm-hmm. not their circumstances, but by the who they are in character and their qualities that they possess. I'm like, you know what? If they can define themselves like that, they're going to be so free, you know?
Exactly. Yes. And it takes a flip on what mm. you were saying earlier about, you know, yeah. how you were raised as yes. to always bury and hide things, where here Again. You're turning it around and saying, tell me more. Tell me about yes. yourself. Give me more information about you, because mm-hmm. that's valuable, not Absolutely. Trying to hide who you are.
Yes.
And so Absolutely. How has that been freeing to you as a parent?
Because it helped me realize that I'm not responsible for shaping them. Mm. I have to draw out who they are. Yeah. And so it took the burden off that I don't have to do this thing or do that thing. I just have to say, who is this person, God? What traits do they have? What do they like? What skills do they have? And really draw them out and them. And so really there's no expectation on me to try to mold this kid. It's really, you know, drawing out who they are. And so it took a lot of pressure off of me as far as like, wow, that's the only thing I have to do is just get to know them and equip yeah. them if possible and give them, teach them some things. But, mm-hmm. you know, it took a lot of pressure off of me
right. in that way. Have so many kids, you can't like do all these little things to, you know, to, yeah, you have to let God lead. And I think that's yeah,
right. And, you know, we being that these are skills that everybody has to have, mm-hmm. you know, everybody has to learn how to listen,
yeah.
you know, be a good listener. Everybody has to learn how to read. I tell my kids, if you want to be a slave, be ignorant. So mm-hmm. if you don't, I don't want my kids to be slaves. So I'm trying to give them the tools they need to just know how to learn. Can you learn how to listen? Can you learn how to read? If you know how to read, you can do anything. Mm-hmm. Right. And then if you can write, you can take these awesome thoughts you have in your brain and you can put them on a piece of paper and share it with the world if you want. Heck, you could right. speak on it if you want to, mm-hmm. you know. And so just teaching them to build upon the natural things that they already have as a human being, the skills that they're going to need. And yeah, you know, anyway, mm-hmm. I just got a lot of bunny trail there.
Well, and you're empowering them. You're empowering them yeah. to be who they are versus mm-hmm. to be who the world says they should be, you know, mm-hmm. the context that, you know, that really stopped you in your tracks for
oh,
so
absolutely.
Long. And, you know, mm-hmm. that's just a beautiful picture of seeing how, you know, you've moved beyond, you know, the freedom and being empowered in your own life, but you've empowered your children now and the next generation to come and generations
Amen.
To come. You know, we can break those curses that.
No, and that is the beautiful thing about God's grace is mm-hmm. his grace breaks that. He can take all those things and he really can give you a foundation to stand upon. He'll give you insight to those injuries that you endured, that you can take that insight, integrate it into you, and you can share that with other people. It's really a beautiful thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you were saying covering things up. That's all my family knew how to do. My family, they were massive addiction. You know, my parents were both alcoholics, bless their hearts. They all died from liver cirrhosis. My biological dad, I think, died of a heart attack. But my mom, my stepdad, and my stepmother, they all died from liver cirrhosis because they were always wow. used to just not feeling anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing I learned in this process is you cannot be afraid to feel what you're going through. And as I was on my healing journey, I remember having these memories in my mind of what had happened, but I didn't know what it felt like. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, I had turned something off. And I think we have to be comfortable with our emotions if we're going to do anything in life. You got to be comfortable with how you feel because it's going to indicate really where you're at. And so you can't be uncomfortable with yourself in that way. You know, if you're feeling anxious, you know what? I'm anxious today. I'm feeling stressed. Why is that? What am I entertaining? And God will give you insight to that. And, you know, you'll get your peace back. And, you know, it's just don't be afraid of yourself in that way. You know, we can't be a house divided. We have to be able to embrace ourselves fully as a person, you know?
Right. Don't run away from those things. I love that. When we start to feel fearful, we retreat. We kind of
yes.
move away from that.
Yes.
That's not comfortable. That I don't like dealing with that. But, mm-hmm. but what you're saying is do the opposite. Press into it.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And, yeah, I think we have a lot to learn, and that doing something scary. I just read that Eleanor Roosevelt says, "Do something you're afraid of every day." You know, that's one of her quotes. And do that. Because I
no,
think
and
as we
when
do,
you're afraid,
we stopped being afraid.
Absolutely. And God has, like I said, he's already given us the solution to that. He said, perfect love casts out fear. So when I'm feeling fearful, I ask the question, Lord, where do I need your love today? I need some love. Like, I'm feeling the fear. Your love is going to cast it out. So I always try to kind of apply it that way. You know, and God's love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It doesn't rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. So I'm like, okay, Lord, where do I need truth? You know, because sometimes we entertain realities that really aren't reality. You know, like, oh my God, I'm going to die if I homeschool. I just can't do it. And it's like, is that true?
Is
that just how you're feeling?
Right.
You know what I mean? So learning to establish the truth in the context of your life, I think will just give you, you know, oh my gosh, you know, this isn't going to work out. And it's like, wait a minute, who told you that? Kind of like God did with Adam. Who told you that, Adam?
Yeah.
You know, when God was calling him out and Adam said, I was afraid, how Adam responded to God was an indicator of who he was listening to. God doesn't give us fear. So if you respond in fear, you got to ask yourself, who told me these things that's making me feel fearful? Because God doesn't give us instruction of fear. So that's how you can know. And God say, yeah, who told you that? Oh, you're afraid? Okay, let's unpack that a little bit, you know? And then you can get out from underneath the fear if you acknowledge it. And so we just can't be afraid to take our whole self to the throne, because God's grace is truly enough for all of that. His love is enough for all of that. And I love challenging God in that way. Okay, Lord, I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling this way. Here I am. What you got?
Right. It's that wrestling. It's what, you know, we talk a lot of sometimes as Christians about wrestling with God, and that's exactly it. It's taking it to him. It's not that I'm going to win this argument. No.
Right.
But God's going to teach me something. He's going to mold me a little differently. I'm going to come out
maybe
a little sore, but my understanding is going to be better.
Amen. Yes, and you're going to come out with a lot more peace, because a lot of times when you're feeling that way, like if you want to challenge God in that way, he shows you this is why you're feeling that way, because this is how you're processing, this is how you're thinking about it. And a lot of times you don't even realize how you formulated something in your mind that led to those conclusions that you're that. Because really, when you think about it, we're emotional creatures. And so if we think and we feel. So when you think about something, it makes you feel a certain way, and then you respond. Right. And so, you know, just being able to just realize that once you wrestle with God, you come out of it and you're like, wow, okay. You know, and that's the cool thing about God. God's not intimidated. I mean, I use a lot of people be like, wow, you talk to God like that? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm just honest.
I know. Well, you know, and he already knows. He can read your
mind.
My kids had heard me yelling one point. They're all, you cursing God? I'm like, no, I'm just praying really loud.
I'm venting right now. No, it's so true. And I think we have to be comfortable to approach God in any state. Look how Job would talk to God. He would be like, Lord, let me argue my case with you. You know, David, I mean, all of the heart, anybody who had a heart after God, they were not afraid of God. They knew they could be truthful because they knew God was always going to meet them with love and mercy. God will bring correction, but he brings you the correction for your own good. He disciplines our thinking. Right. So you have to realize either you're going to bring yourself in your own destruction as far as kind of being isolated, or you can get the, you know, it's like going to the doctor if you're recovering from something and they sort of straighten it out. It's a little painful, but once it's done, you can fully recover. So it's like, oh, okay. You know, God isn't going to leave you wounded, you know? So just wrestle it out. He'll let you do it. You'll be all right.
And that's what gives you power too. You know, we're talking about going from fear to power is that as you get these things corrected in your life, every little bit of that adds up to empower you to move in the direction that you were intended to move in the first place, where all these places were impeding your progress, you know. And it's the what I've been hearing over and over from you is, you know, we take these things out and look what it opens up after we remove it. So
absolutely.
That's awesome. You were talking about taking inventory and in your notes that you shared with me. How can, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up the last 10 minutes here, what advice do you have for those people that are going, I don't even know where to start? You know, how can I start looking at this and take inventory where I'm at?
Well, I think it's important. You have to go back to asking yourself the question, you know, what do you want to give to your children? You know, so I had to do that first. Okay. And I'm going to read a little list I wrote here. I want my kids to be confident. I want them to be competent communicators, leaders, critical thinkers. I want them to know their character and their values and, you know, build who you want to be. So I think once you get really clear on what you want to accomplish, then that'll sort of give you a framework as to how you're going to go about it. Because if you don't know what you want to build, it's really hard to pick what blueprint you're going to use, right? But if you know what you're going to build, then you know what resources to use. And so it's really important that people take a step back and say, okay, this is what I want to do. This is who I want my children. This is what I want to build into them. And then look for those resources to do that. And then you then when you reassess, it actually has a function. You can ask yourself the question, am I getting closer to what I'm trying to do with my kids, or am I getting further away? You know, like when God created the world and it was good and he looked at it and he assessed it. We got to be able to assess it, but we have to know what we wanted to create from the beginning, like God did. Okay, let there be this, let there be that. He knew what he wanted to do ahead of time. And so I think we need to know what we want to do ahead of time so we can begin to equip ourselves. And so for me, if I wanted my children to be confident and competent communicators, leaders, critical thinkers, know their character and values, I had to work on myself first. Right. You know, I had to start that journey. So then I can take what I learned, the process I learned, and give that to my children, you know? So I think that alone is really going to be the best thing, because if we want our kids to be lifelong learners, then they have to see you in that process of learning and maturing and growing yourself.
Yes.
And then you give that to them. So just getting really clear on what you want to do with your kids. What do your kids need? Do you want them to have character and values? You know, and then so you look for those resources. And that's where you brought up earlier, asking God, God, this is what I want. So how do I do this? What resources do I need? And I promise you guys, he will bring them to you. Amazing. On the drop of a hat. I mean, he really will.
So and having those things written down, when fears start to come in, I mean, as you were talking, I'm thinking about, you know, just all you've been talking about with the fears. If you have that list, you can instantly see this fear is not, has no bearing on my goals and it's going with my kids. So why am I listening to it?
Yeah,
write those down. I love that you had to, you know, you read them, you wrote them down and, you know, I'm sure you take them out and look at them. And
absolutely. And I think that's why God says we need to have a vision, you know, write it down and make it plain. You really need to have this written down. So like you were saying, when the arguments and the presumptions come, you know, the thoughts that we're supposed to cut down, you can identify very quickly the thoughts that are coming in that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy the thing you're trying to build. And you could be like, nope, not today. Exactly. Right. And then, you know, so you know what to keep and what to throw away. And so it takes a lot of the pressure off of you. You're not consuming everything because not everything is for you.
Yeah.
You're going to have a different vision, different everything. You got to be okay with that.
That is so freeing. Just what you said. Everything is not for you. We don't have to be like everyone else. And that'll just run you into the ground so fast. And your kids too. I was talking to someone earlier today and she said that she was there, one of the daughters of somebody who authored a book that was about, you know, how to like succeed in homeschool, graduate your kids by 12, you know, and you may have them go to college. And she's like, and one of their daughters followed a typical plan, not like the rest of their kids, and she feels like a failure. And it's like, oh, that is so heartbreaking. That
absolutely.
The high expectations that we can put on our kids can just not make them feel like I'm good enough.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the other thing parents can do is, you know, it's like, are we asking our older kids what they want to do? My oldest son, he absolutely does not want to go to college. And this mama right here is not going to make him. You know what? He's got his own vision for his life. So my goal is to encourage that vision. If we as parents are trying to find our identity in what our kids do, are going to be so disappointed. And that's what I've had to come. You know what? My identity cannot be tied to the choices that my child chooses to make. So I wonder sometimes if parents get disappointed because they had this expectation that if my kid does this, it's going to make me look like such a great parent. Well, how do you think that makes that kid feel? It's like, what? You don't think I want to do is worthy? Like you don't find value in what I want to do or the choices I want to make. And So I think it's really important to remember that side of it, that, you know what, we got to get our identity out of the equation and yes. really try to build up children that are confident mm-hmm. in their decisions.
So true.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever, you know, train up a child in the way they should go.
Yeah.
That way you do not choose. That is no. predestined by God, and you have to be okay with it.
Right.
And they
right.
may be a prodigal child.
Right.
And that may be God's way of working through a lot of other things in their life. And that has to be okay in our hearts that
absolutely.
He's in control and on his throne.
Right. And I think we have to be comfortable with the fact that we were those prodigal kids too. You know, we were running from God's grace.
Oh,
you know, I think we got to keep your heart on that level. So if they do go that, you can relate, like, you know what, I've been there, mm-hmm. you know, and learning to connect. And I think that's really, really important, especially as mm-hmm. your kids get older in those teenage phases. They need yes. to know that you're still like a human being mm-hmm. and they can relate to you. And that, because I think as you are, you know, have that relationship that mm-hmm. they will, you know, hopefully they'll talk to you about that kind of stuff too. You know,
oh, yeah.
if they're feeling
yeah.
a little prodigal going in them.
If you follow the way that Ashley relates to her kids and do that, you will have teenagers you love. I promise you.
Amen.
Because I did the same thing with mine, and
I love it.
Being with my children, even as young adults.
Me
we're all in the house
too.
Together now still because
yes.
of this quarantine. And we mm-hmm. love that time together. But I know
yeah.
if I would not have invested in those relationships, it would not
Amen.
Be the same.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, that's really what matters most, isn't it?
It is. And it is. It's quality of the relationships. I think it's parents just learn, you know what? It's okay to be humble with your kids. If you get a little upset and emotional, you guys, I don't know how many times I've over the years had to apologize to my children for being on the
oh,
edge
yeah.
some days. You know, like, you know what? Mom got a little upset about that. I'm sorry about that, you guys. And I think it's okay. We just got to keep, if we keep that, you know, our kids are going to be like, wow, you know what? I can approach you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
and yep. and it keeps that environment in the home. And then you just feel comfortable with everybody. You know, I remember when I had kids and everybody always said, you just wait till they're teenagers. And I was like, oh my God, I used to be so nervous about that. I was so scared. I was, because I know what I was doing when I was a teenager. However, there's always a context. There's always different mm-hmm. things. Don't think that just because they're teenagers that they're all going to turn out that way.
Exactly.
Every heart just needs love and grace and patience and all these things. And so mm-hmm. I was like, Lord, no way. Like, oh, I'm so. And I was like, you know what, God, you gave us these kids. There's got to be a way to do this where
right.
I'm going to enjoy them through uh-huh. every stage. And I have, you guys, I'm telling you, I've enjoyed it the whole way. My oldest is going to be 18 in June. We have a very good relationship, and I think it's just having these things in mind while you're working with your kids, you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
don't get
right.
discouraged. There's
there.
So many things out there,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be okay. Don't, you know, just live with your kids in that way and just learn with them. That's the other thing. I just learning with them and figuring
yes.
things out.
Yes.
Taking breaks if you need to. If you're feeling stressed, it's okay to take a break.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
I learned there are 365 days in the year. You don't have to follow the same schedule as everybody else either. You know how they have the homeschool, not, you know, public school, 9 months, whatever.
Right.
You have 12 months. Utilize all 12 months.
Absolutely.
So.
Yes. And they're learning whether you're using books or not. So just know that.
Oh, yeah. They're going to go find their own things outside and they're going to bring them and show them to you, frogs, whatever. You know, my kids do that all the time. So, you know, just be okay with that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, we've got to wrap up because
I've
got Mom's Night Out the next hour. If you want to join us
okay.
just to chat about all that stuff, definitely
all
find
right.
the link either in our Facebook support group or we have a closed link that you can find on our website at spedhomeschool.com. You can just look for Mom's Night Out. But,
all right, awesome.
But check out Ashley's YouTube channel. It's called Daily Encouragement. I've
yep.
got the YouTube link there, but I'll share that in the feed so you can click on it as well. And then I'll,
absolutely.
For the YouTube video, I'll share that in there as well too. So.
Yes. And I have a podcast. You guys check out the podcast Monday
oh,
through
awesome.
Thursday. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's a big
yeah.
thank you.
So
maybe
give me
I can
that
share
link
it with you.
Too, Ashley.
I will.
Yeah, and then I will share that on the YouTube channel as well. So
awesome.
But
awesome.
This was so good. I really enjoyed
good.
All of your input and just things you had to share. It was so encouraging. And I hope that
that's awesome,
you were
Kirby.
Encouraged too, everybody, because these are the things we need to hear, because mm-hmm. we can live in so much fear, but we can overcome it because God is.
Yes, we can, you guys. Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. So
definitely. And we want
to thank you so much for having me, Peggy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bookshare, thank you for sponsoring this episode of Special mm-hmm. School Conversations. Next week, we are we have a returning guest. Her name is Shelley Longnecker. Her website is Dinner for a Dollar, and we are going to talk about how to save time in putting together allergy-free diets, but also healthy diets. So if you're going, I am going crazy cooking for my family every night, she's got solutions. So
I love
join
that.
Us next week for that. She goes, I cook without recipes. And it saves a lot of time, and it uses up all the ingredients in my house, which kind of is what we all
perfect
right now anyways. Yes.
Most definitely.
All right. Well, this was an awesome episode. Thank you again, Ashley. Thank you again, everybody,
thank
for
you.
Joining us. We'll see you again next week here on Sped Homeschool Conversations. Bye, everybody. Have a great night. Or we'll see you on Mom's Night Out.
All righty.